So, Om Ganat Timirandasya Gananjana Shilakaya Chaksur Minitab Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So today we're having a small fire sacrifice, and Archana will be taking second initiation and helping with the deity worship here. So I want to describe what a Brahman is. And so we'll start the discussion reading from the 42nd text in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. So, Shamo Damachtapaksho Cham Shantyura Chivam Hevacha Jnanam Vigyanam Ostikyam Rama Karma Svabhavacham. And there's no purport to this, but I'm going to speak about the verse. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, knowledge, wisdom, and religiousness. These are the natural qualities by which the brahmanas work. So, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, let's take the literal definition of the word brahmana. The literal definition of the word brahmana is one who knows Brahman. That's actually the literal definition. Although, in India, it's become somewhat of a caste designation. And, of course, there's different types of brahmanas. There's vipras, there's ritualistic brahmanas, there's Vaishnava brahmanas, there's impersonalistic brahmanas. And so let's distinguish between the different paths different brahmanas follow. There's the Vedic path, and the Vedic path is the path of the Vedic rituals that are mentioned in the Rig Veda, the Sama Veda, the Yajur Veda, and somewhat in the Atharva Veda. And so these Vedic rituals are mainly, as Krishna says in the Gita, Trigunya Vishya Veda, Nishtrigunya Bhavarjana, Nirdvandvo Nitvasatvashto, Nir Yoga Kshema Admavan. They're mainly meant for elevating oneself through the modes of nature or enjoying this material world. That's Krishna says in that verse that I just quoted. Trigunya. Trigunya means the three modes of material nature. Vishaya Veda, Vishaya. Vishaya means like material entanglement, basically, or illusion. The Vedas. And then Krishna says to Arjuna, of course, in that same verse, that Nishtrigunya Bhavarjuna, oh dear Arjuna, you're meant to be above the modes of material nature. Nirdvandvo Nitvasatvasto, you should be established in the self and free of the dualities of this material world. So generally, that's what the Vedic or the Vedic brahmanas do. So the type of initiation we're giving today is not a Vedic initiation. Now there's a discussion about Vaishnava brahmanas or Vaishnavas and ritualistic brahmanas or caste brahmanas in the Jiva Dharma. And this is a very interesting discussion. And in this discussion, it is mentioned that even though a Vaishnava is a Brahmin, he will not do the Vedic sacrifices. Even though he's qualified as a Brahmin, he's above a Brahmin, because we have that verse, Aho Bhattaswa Pachato Gadiyan. Yaji Vagre Bhartate Namatubhyam Tapus Tapush Tuhuva Shashnurariyar Brahmanuchu Nama Grisantiyate. And that is from the Bhagavatam. How wonderful it is. Aho Bhattaswa Pachato Gadiyan. If one is chanting the names of Krishna, then it's understood that he's performed all the preliminary practices, rituals, and come to the platform of being a Brahmana. Brahmanuchar Navan, Grinanti Yetek. So why is it that we don't do Vedic rituals? Or that's simply for the sake of social stability. You know, there's social classes, and generally In the Jiva Dharma, at least, it's generally recommended that someone who is getting married, they should marry people of the same caste. I mean, generally, that's the case. Because we're interested in the social stability. Yeah, we want social stability. At the same time, we understand on the paramarthic platform, there's two platforms, the Vyavaharic and Paramarthic. Vyavaharic means the ordinary platform of social dealings. And the Paramarthic means the transcendental platform, that a Vaishnava is actually better than an ordinary ritualistic Brahmana. In fact, there's some hierarchy mentioned in the Jiva Dharma about who is better, an atheist Brahman or ritualistic Brahman without faith in the Supreme, or Vaishnava. And obviously Vaishnava is considered better from a paramarthic sense. So we are interested in what's called Panchratriki Vidhi and Bhagavat Vidhi. So the initiation that goes on in the Krishna consciousness movement is Panchratriki, at least the second initiation is Panchratriki Vidhi. Bhagavat Vidhi, or the process of Bhagavat, is the description or the pastimes of the Lord, the philosophy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the chanting of the Lord's holy names. And of course, this is the most important path, especially in Kali Yuga. Kirtanada eva Krishnasya mukta sangha puram vajet. Kaler doshanat hey rajan. Ashjeko Mahadguna, Kirtanada Iva Krishnasya, Mukta Sangha Parambajet, that in this age of Kali, the most important process is the chanting and the hearing, transcendental sound vibration. Of course, this is corroborated by Kapiladev in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Kapiladev, who states, Satambha Sangam Mamavirya Sambhada, Bhavanti Ritkarna Rasayana Kata. To Joshanadashu Apavarga Vartmani Shraddha Ratir Bhakti Nukramashuti, that one should hear, this is his prescription, one should hear about Krishna in the association of sadhus. Satam Prasangam Mamavir, about Krishna's heroic activities. Bhavanti Ritkarna, in this way the heart will be cleansed. Rasayana Katha, by this medicinal kata, and then Jadoshanashu Apavarga, he will proceed on the path of liberation, Apavarga Vartmani, and then Shraddha Ratira Bhakti Anukramishati. Gradually, he will go through the different steps in the advancement process, which is faith, Shraddha, Ratira, taste. Of course, there's more steps than that, but this is just a general outline. Shraddha, Ratira, and Bhakti. Of course, there's more, Ado, Shraddha, Tata, Sota, Sangha, etc. So, this is our process, actually, Bhagavat Vidhi. And to assist, that's the primary process. But the Bhagavat Vidhi has to be executed in the line of disciplic succession. Just like we're giving initiation today, so this is the line from Srila Prabhupada. So, the Krishna Katha comes through the disciplic succession through his divine grace Srila Prabhupada and through his bona fide representatives. This is our medium. This is our medium. And so we remain faithful to this particular line. And we have our whole disciplic succession there. So, anyway, so that Bhagavat Vidhi is assisted by the Panchratriki Vidhi. Panchratriki Vidhi is meant to assist the Bhagavat Vidhi. Panchratriki Vidhi means deity worship, the rules and regulations like the cleanliness, waking up early in the morning. All those things are necessary in order to regulate the mind and fix the mind on Krishna so that one can chant and hear properly. Very important point. So we cannot do away with Panchratriki Vidhi in the name of being so advanced in Krishna consciousness that we can throw regulation and deity worship to the winds, so to speak. And even the great souls, like the Goswamis of Vrindavan, who were certainly on the highest platform of devotional service, Mahabhagwats, Paramahansas, Nitya Siddha, Shaktivesh avatars, I mean, all those different categories, even they, you know, engage in deity worship. I mean, you have Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who we spoke about a few previous classes, and Gopal Bhatta Goswami was engaged in worshiping Radharaman. You know, he wanted to dress deities every day. And so you see this with the Goswamis of Vrindavan, you know, Jiva Goswami and Radha Damodar temple. I mean, this is the example. Even though they have this internal life, they're setting an example for us how important this Pancharatriki Vidhi is. Because without it, we become wild, unregulated. And I usually give the example that when I first started traveling with a sannyasi many, many years ago, we sort of neglected the Pancharatriki Vidhi. I mean, we chanted our rounds every day, heard Bhagavatam, preached every day, but we woke up at any time of the day. You know, we stayed up late at night, woke up, and as far as offering food, we would just take a bag of groceries from the supermarket and say Sri Vishnu to it. And that was our Pancharatriki Vidhi, so to speak. And so we noticed that the consciousness was going down, the irregulation was there, the mode of goodness was dissipating, or the other modes of nature were becoming more prominent. So it's very important to stay in this mode of goodness. And this is really what Brahman initiation means, to cultivate the mode of goodness. And Krishna, in the Bhagavad Gita, deals quite a bit with the different modes of nature and how to identify, you know, this understanding the different modes of nature, you know, like in the mode of goodness, the understanding one underlying spiritual nature, the mode of passion, you see different types of living entities in different bodies, and in the mode of ignorance, you just see, you know, one work is all in all. Anyway, so there's knowledge, workers, understandings, and so much delineation about these modes of nature, so that one can identify the symptoms of the different modes and rise up to the mode of goodness. The mode of goodness is very important. Of course, in and of itself, the material mode of goodness is not sufficient to give you Krishna consciousness. It is necessary, but not sufficient. And I hope everyone understands those logical terms. It is necessary to have them be in the mode of goodness, but it is not sufficient. In other words, you may be in the mode of goodness. Of course, it's very hard in Kali Yuga to be in the mode of goodness without Krishna consciousness, practically impossible. But let's say you were, theoretically, and you could not be Krishna conscious. And the example given that I often give in that regard is that if one wants to take an airplane, and we're not talking about a quadcopter, but if you want to take a normal airplane, you've got to go to the airport. I mean, an airplane's not going to take off from New Goloka here. It's not a runway. You have to go to some airport, some authorized airport. But you can go to the airport and not take a plane. You can just get in Maya. Let's say your plane is meant to take off, and you get in Maya just looking at all the shops in the airports nowadays, just going from one shop to another. Actually, airports more or less nowadays are shopping malls. And Raleigh-Durham, not so much, but if you get into the bigger airports, it's basically liquor stores and shopping malls. And so you could get lost. So the mode of goodness is also entraps one. One can be conditioned by a sense of happiness, a sense that everything is all right, a sense of peacefulness. Just like you find sometimes in rituals in India, they're chanting Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. So we are not interested in Shanti in the Krishna consciousness movement. We are interested in Bhakti. And if in executing our bhakti we become ashanta, we become disturbed, that's, and Krishna's pleased, then what can we do? Like Prabhupada, an example is Prabhupada was talking to Tamal Krishnamaraj one time, and Tamal Krishnamaraj was saying that, you know, all this anxiety, Srila Prabhupada, it's hard for me to concentrate, you know, my rounds or something like that. And Prabhupada said, me too. So that doesn't mean that we should be in anxiety and not concentrating on our rounds, but that means that the pleasure of Krishna is the most important thing. That's pure devotional service. What pleases Krishna? What pleases the Guru? That's the essence of Krishna consciousness. And we were describing the other day, that's why devotees would agree to become demons if it pleases Krishna. I was describing the other day in class that why did Jai and Vijay, why did they become resentful after they went back to the spiritual world and understood that Krishna had arranged all this? I mean, just like we understand Krishna arranged Jai and Vijay to be cursed. I mean, that's in the prayers of Lord Brahma. We read the prayers of Lord Brahma the other day, that he said that you arrange this, you arrange that, and we were quoting from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. You arranged that the cursing was there. You arranged that your devotee took birth in a non-devotee or a demon family, Pallad Maharaj. And so certainly the Kumara, Jai and Vijay will understand that later on when they go back to the spiritual world. And so are they going to get angry with the Lord for arranging all these things? No, because their whole mood is to give him pleasure. So that's ultimately what we're aspiring for. However, we should understand the qualities of the mode of goodness, which are in this verse that I quoted today from the Bhagavad Gita, and we'll talk about this because this is necessary in order to serve the deities, because Prabhupada said you have to become a Brahman, in the sense of the mode of goodness, in order to approach Brahman. So Krishna, of course, is Brahman. Brahman has three aspects, Brahmeti, Paramati, Bhagavan iti shabdyate, Vedanti tat tatva vidas tatvam yad gyanam advayam. Advayam, it's non-dual substance of Brahman, but there's aspects, the personality of Godhead, the localized Paramatma, and the Brahman effulgence. These are all Brahman, so a Brahman has to be devoted at least to one of the three of them. So, in other words, you have to be on the platform of the mode of goodness and be on the platform of understanding the Supreme Brahman, Krishna, in order to do the deity worship. You're dealing directly with God. I remember when Prabhupada was giving the lecture at the installation of Rukmini and Dwarkadish, or I think it was Rukmini Dwarkanath, the small deities. Yeah, he was installing the deities in Los Angeles, and he was crying. He said, you have to understand, you're directly dealing with God. I mean, how many of us understand that? That God is there on the altar. I mean, if we understood that, we'd be coming and seeing him daily. You know, even if you understood that Bill Gates was here, I'd probably see him 20 times a day. I probably cook for him all day long. Isn't it? You know who Bill Gates is? No, no one knows who Bill Gates is. He's one of the richest men in the world, if not the richest man. I mean, I've probably just like given my house, you know, whatever you want, you know, because we know he has so much money, right? So Krishna has more money than Bill Gates. Right? And Krishna's much more beautiful, attractive than, I don't know any name of any movies actress, so I'm not even going to mention it. Anyway. And Krishna's more intelligent than the biggest professor. I mean, just like if someone, I get an invitation, oh, you can visit, you know, the head of the religion department, he's interested in seeing you. So I'm going to run and see him immediately. Here at UNC Chapel Hill, just like I got a call from Dr. Braswell the other day. And he invited me, you know, he's a Anyway, he's a Baptist minister, teacher. And he invited me to his going away party. He said, "Oh, thank you very much. I'll come." And, you know, he's 80-something years old and he's retiring. So he invited me personally. He called me up personally. Nice. So I go because he's prominent. You know, if I just get a call from somebody in the street, you know, I don't want to say bum, like some challenged individual on the street, and he says, "Please come to my birthday." I say, what? You know, but if he's opulent, if he has, you know, knowledge or position or renunciation, you know, very renounced personality, powerful, you know, I guess, if Arnold Schwarzenegger invited me to something, I'd go. Because he's prominent. I'd have some pictures taken and put it on Facebook with him. Isn't it? I mean, it would really put me, I'd get 1,000 hits on my, a million hits on my Facebook page. But then Krishna's here. The point I'm making, the comparison I'm making is Krishna's here, and who's coming to see him? He's much more powerful than any of these personalities in this world. You know, and we don't have faith in Krishna. And we say we're Hare Krishna devotees? Huh. You know, just, huh? I just don't understand this at all. I mean, myself, you know, I'm talking to Krishna, you know, I go to see Radha Golokananda, have my deities, Govardhan Shilas, and I talk to them all the time. Especially when the going gets tough. The sannyasi gets talking. Anyways, so I talk to them all the time. I just say, you know, Krishna, help! Yeah, I mean, we're meant to have a personal exchange with Krishna. But the point I'm making is we think, you know, the deities is just another ritual that we do. But it's directly Krishna. And Krishna's directly there in his holy name. I mean, do we actually have that realization, that reverence, that attention that we'd pay even to Bill Gates, to Krishna's holy name? I don't think so. I mean, we chant so, it's such a sloppy way, you know, doing so many things, you know. So, anyway, so the point is we're directly approaching Brahman. Of course, the holy name is Brahman, but now we're talking about second initiation, deity worship. We're actually approaching the supreme personality of Godhead. There's no one greater, more powerful, richer, more famous, more renounced, any of these Bhagavan features than him. And so that's what second initiation is. You get a chance to personally serve God. And of course it's like the sun too. The sun has the ability to purify. So Krishna is Surya Sam, Krishna is the sun. And the sun also has the ability to burn. Just like you see, you know, everyone's putting sunscreen on nowadays. Or wearing these big hats over their head to prevent the sun from burning. Sunburn or getting cancer or something. So we have to be very careful when approaching the deities, approaching the spiritual master, just like that word vananvi means caution. One has to exercise an abundance of caution. I'm with God. Like that. And so, anyway, it's a very purifying activity, and one has to be cautious at the same time. So in order to cultivate the mode of goodness, one has to be aware of the qualities that are mentioned by Krishna here in the Bhagavad Gita, the 43rd text. And we'll begin, 42nd, sorry, with the first one, shama. Shama, or shamaha, means peacefulness. Actually means literally equipoise. Like you have Shamadarshi, Vidya Vinaya Sampane, Brahmani Gavihashtani, Shuni Chaiva Swapakecha Pandita Samadarshana. The learned and gentle sage sees all these living entities equally. Vidya Vinaya Sampane, Brahmani Brahman, dog, dog eater, etc., like that. Samadarshi. In other words, to be equal poised in all situations, to not discriminate on account of the body. There has to be discrimination, of course, spiritual discrimination. Being aspiring Majjhimadhikaris, we have to discriminate between those who are envious, avoid them, between those who are innocent, try to help them, between those who are devotees, make friendship with them, and, of course, God, we serve Him. So there's some spiritual discrimination, but as far as material discrimination, just for the sake of service, yeah, it has to be there. But at the same time, it's not a real deep internal thing. You know, white, black, purple, American, Chinese. I mean, it's like, I was just reading last night about how sometimes people come to the United States and they're suffering because of that, and they're from, let's say, a different country. And so, you know, I feel we should feel just as much compassion for those people as we do for the Americans. But nowadays, of course, you have this ultra-nationalism becoming prominent in people's hearts, even more than, you know, this sectarianism. And people are thinking, you know, that because we're born in America, we're Americans, you know, this is land is my land, this land is your land. Not they won't take that away. This land is my land, not your land. You know, isn't it? So this is, devotees don't think like that. So samadarshi, seen equally, and also happiness, distress, pleasure and pain. This is the first lesson in Bhagavad Gita. Pandita samadarshanam. That sukha dukha da ga ba paino nichastam tatiksha bharat. That's another point, tatiksha. But just see everything equally. Like that. And then the next one, and being equal poised. Equal poised in happiness and distress, pleasure and pain, like that. And the next quality, so we cultivate these qualities. Not that all of a sudden it's the time of initiation one gets those qualities. It's not that it's a free ride. You have to work at it. So sama dhamma. And dhamma means sense control. Tame. Basically, sometimes it's translated as tame. Tame the senses. Adanta gopir vishadam tamashram punak punas char vidacharvananam. Prahlad Maharaj says, if one has uncontrolled senses, then one is just engaged in repetitive activity that has no positive result, thinking he's going to get some happiness out of this material world. So we control the senses. Vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udara pashta vegam. We have all this pushing that's going on. You know, anger is pushing us, or the words, the urge to speak, some nonsense. Vacho vegam, manasa, the mind is pushing us. Anger, all these things, and one must learn to tolerate these things and just go on doing one's service in spite of all this. I mean, it will happen. The mind will actually become very disturbed at times. The senses will become inflamed at times. But you have to be on the platform of intelligence. You tolerate these things. It's not that a devotee, when we talk about being sense-controlled, his senses don't act. But he tolerates the pushings of the senses. The senses will push, it's guaranteed. Unless you're a nichya-siddha devotee, your senses are going to be pushing you to do things that are not Krishna conscious. So therefore we accept things that are favorable for Krishna consciousness and reject things that are unfavorable. And then tapa. Tapa also means that, accepting everything favorable, rejecting everything unfavorable. And one of the main points Prabhupada would talk about as far as the Brahmana initiation is the next word here, shocham. Shocham means cleanliness, and actually Prabhupada translates it as purity here in the word-by-word translations. And Prabhupada would talk about internal cleanliness and external cleanliness. External, of course, means, that's obvious, washing your hands before eating, washing your hands after eating, cleaning your mouth, brushing your teeth, taking bath, Prabhupada said minimum 2 times, 3 times a day. and especially when one's worshiping the deities, to be revolutionary clean. It's like, I remember when I first learned to worship the deities and cook, I treated it, and I still do, like being in a hospital. Like you see, when someone's getting ready to operate, a doctor, usually they have the hands up like this. They've washed their hands. It's not that they rub their head, pick their nose. I mean, sometimes they do, and then you get some hospital-borne illness, MRSA or something like that. And then the nurses sometimes put the gloves on at that point, and the doctor... But if they touch anything, they have to wash. They're supposed to wash their hands. So that's how I treated the deity worship. I still do. Actually, when I'm doing my deities in the morning, I have the shilas I bathe and take care of. I act exactly like that. If I touch anything else that could be not clean, I immediately rinse my hands off again. Because that you're touching Krishna. You're touching Krishna. And I always keep my... Just like even this morning, when I woke up, I noticed my nails were a little long, not too long, and I cut them. Because the nails are very moochy. You know, things get under the nails. So I'm always very conscious. Because I'm doing deity worship every day, I'm always very conscious of cleanliness. You know, I'm conscious, like here. In the morning, because I'm going to do my deity worship after the morning program, I wear a specific... jumper. You call this a jumper or a hoodie nowadays. So I wear it. This is the one for the morning. And later on in the day, when I'm doing other things, walking to the park, I'll wear another one. So I'm just very concerned all the time thinking about when I'm going to be doing deity worship, always about the cleanliness. So this is extremely important to dealing with. Prabhupada said in deity worship, the most important things are cleanliness and punctuality. When we establish the deities here, we establish the mood of punctuality down to the second. I remember in the beginning when I was doing a lot of the deity worship in the temple, I would stand there with a watch, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Whoop! You know, the conch shell. So that's part of it. You know, punctuality is part of being a Brahmin. You know, Brahmin should have watches. You don't have a watch card, though. Brahmins should have watches so they can see the exact time. And Prabhupada always wore a watch. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had a pocket watch. Because time is Krishna. So punctuality is actually very, very important. Nowadays people say, I don't have a watch because I have a cell phone. You hear that all the time. Isn't it? But everyone should have a watch. You know, you look at the time, just like I'm looking at the time right now. So that's part of being a Brahmin. It's not there in this verse. Punctuality is not mentioned. But I'm mentioning that as an additional Brahminical quality. So we have external cleanliness. Internal cleanliness means you chant all the time. You hear Krishna Katha. You know, because as soon as you stop chanting, the mind takes over. And you get into all these things. I mean, some things are connected to Krishna, but most of them are not connected to Krishna. You know, Star Wars, you know, Obi-Wan, Kenobi, you know. I mean, how many of us dreamt of Krishna last night? Most of us dreamt of something else. You know. Anyway, so one has to always be chanting. Like when I was with Prabhupada would be doing television interviews and he would be chanting under his breath as the other person was talking. You can see it like that. I mean, obviously, you don't want to offend people. But, you know, so that's part of internal cleanliness. Yaksmaret pundarikaksham savaya avyantara shuchi shuvishnu shuvishnu. To always remember Krishna and remember Krishna by chanting his holy name. So that's part of socham, which Prabhupada talked about. And then shanti, tolerance. We're all going to have a lot of things to tolerate. Not only the pushings of the senses, you know, the Vacho Begum, Manasakrota Begum, but other people, you know, there's Adiatmik, Adibodhik, and Adidaivik things to tolerate. You know, the weather, just like it's cold now, one day it'll be beautiful, and you walk out in the sunshine, see what a nice day. That's also tolerated. You become enamored by the beauty of the material world. It's harder to tolerate something that's attractive. than to tolerate something that's, you know, that's not so attractive or painful. So we all have things to tolerate. I mean, it's, whether it's the mind, the body, external energy, or other devotees. We just have to tolerate all these things. And then Arjavam is here, honesty. That's very important. A Brahmin should always be honest, but such a Priya Hitam, he should speak truthfully, pleasingly, and beneficially. Not that you're honest in the sense that you tell someone what you're thinking because it'll offend them, even if it's true. Like if someone is ugly, you don't say, honestly, you're ugly. At that point, you don't say anything. You know, like we used to say when we were at school, if a girl was not attractive, she has a nice personality. So there's always ways to praise someone like that. So anyway, so honesty is very important. And being honest with yourself, introspective, understanding what your faults are, and honest, revealing your mind and confidence to someone who is more advanced. You know, being honest. You know, Prabhu, I'm going through this particular struggle. I'm attracted to iPhones. Please help me. Get an Android. So anyway. No, that's just a joke, obviously. That's just a joke. But, I mean, to reveal one's mind and confidence. You know, that, and Prabhupada said, if you don't reveal your mind, you'll go away. You know, things will build up. And then, of course, then Jnanam. Prabhupada said we should regularly read his books and cultivate knowledge, especially in our stage, Sambandha Gyan. Sambandha Gyan means knowing the relationship between Krishna and the living entities, the material world, and the time factor, and karma. It's very important because bhakti cannot be built without Sambandha Gyan. And that's actually what we find many times nowadays. People try to become Krishna conscious without a firm understanding of Sambandha Gyan. And the relationship with the guru. I mean, all these things. Relationship with Prabhupada. Very, very important. And then by taking that knowledge, you have to practice it. Vijnanam, which Prabhupada here translates as wisdom. So wisdom is actually realized knowledge. You know, vijnana, we study, we understand these things, and you apply them. Prabhupada said action in knowledge gives you realization. And then finally, Astikyam, being religious, religiousness. That means not mundane religiousness or dharma, projita kai devotra, cheating religion. It means dedicating your life to Krishna, to pleasing Krishna. That's what religion, the word religion means to tie yourself back. You understand? Religare. To tie yourself back to Krishna. We lost our connection, not completely, but at least because we're in the material world, we, for all intents and purposes, we're losing our connection, internal connection with Krishna. So religion means to tie yourself back to Krishna. And then Brahma, Karma, Svabhajam. These are the qualities born of a brahminical nature. So today we're having this nice initiation, so.